As Peter is talking about the salvation that's offered to us as Christians when we've been born again or begotten again, he describes that hope that we have and uses a word when he describes that that's interesting to me. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." He just doesn't say he's begotten us again to a new hope, but he says a living hope. And so that word is interesting to me. Hope is important to us in life. It's a part of our well-being in life. If we get sick, we have a hope that we're going to get better. If a ball team loses an important game or at the end of the season, they always say, well, you know, there's always next year. In disappointments, we need hope. In discouraging time, we need hope. So hope is very important to us. And yet a lot of times there are things that we hope in this life that we find will disappoint us. People can disappoint us. Sometimes we feel disappointed by leaders, whether it be in the country or of the church. Spouses disappoint us. Children disappoint us. But it's important that in disappointments in life that we have hope. It's important to our well-being. So for our lesson this morning, I want us to examine this living hope that Peter talks about. And when I think about this living hope, of course, what would be the alternative to a living hope if you just think of that term living? A dead hope. There's a difference between something that's dead and something that's alive. I know, in the profession that I work in, there's a difference. I work with the living and the dead. But there's something more to this living that I want us to think about. There's also a sense, and when you're talking about hope, there's hopes that disappoint, and there's a hope that does not disappoint. Later we'll look at Romans 5 and verse 5, but there Paul talks about, now hope does not disappoint. So there's a hope that disappoints, there's a hope that does not disappoint. So as we think about those terms this morning, I want us to begin by looking at an illustration or a demonstration. Because what Peter ties this living hope to, he ties it to the resurrection of Jesus. That's what makes it important. We have been begotten again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. So to illustrate that and sort of serve as a basis for our lesson this morning, I'd like to ask you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 24. We're going to look at an occasion after the resurrection of Jesus. Matter of fact, it's the day of the resurrection. And we're going to see that there are two disciples of Jesus who are walking on the road to Emmaus. And as they're walking, they're in deep conversation. And they're reasoning with each other about the events that have taken place over the last few days. They've been disciples, followers of Jesus. But now they're trying to understand what his crucifixion means. And so as they're walking along the way, Jesus joins himself. The resurrected Jesus joins himself to them and starts conversation with them. They don't know who he is. He's veiled from them. And he says, what is this you're talking about so intently? What is this conversation you're having all about? And they're very surprised. And so they say, well, are you the only stranger around here? You don't know anything about what's been going on over the past few days? He says, well, tell me about it. So they're going to tell Jesus about the things that are on their mind. And it has to do with the hope that they have in Jesus. So I want us to look at hope, this hope that these first Christians had, these first disciples of Jesus, the day of his resurrection. What does this resurrection mean? They reflect on their hope. Beginning in verse 17, if you would. He said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have had with one another as you walk and are sad? Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said to him, Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which have happened here in these days? He said to them, What things? So they said to him, The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Here there, we see where they've been reflecting on these events, and they're reviewing for Jesus what had happened. And as they share this with Jesus, they indicate that they had this belief, they had this hope that Jesus, who they saw as a prophet, was going to be the one that would redeem Israel. He was the one that the scriptures prophesied about that would redeem Israel. Now in their mind, they expected a restored nation of Israel, one that was free from Roman rule. Whatever else they expected, that seems to be the common thought about Jesus. He's going to restore Israel. They hoped Jesus to be a national leader. He was a great teacher. It was undeniable. He could work miracles. He was a prophet. But they also saw in Jesus a national leader, a king. You remember James and John's mother at one time asked of Jesus, When you come into your kingdom, let my sons be at your right hand and your left. People were looking for a redeemer for Israel. So they're reviewing to Jesus their hope. But we also see in this verse that they were rethinking that hope. Because they said, we were hoping. Some translations say, we had hoped that it was he that was going to redeem Israel. Now that Jesus had been crucified, imagine how their hope was kind of in a state of bewilderment. What do we do now? What does it mean? We've been following Him. We've been having hope in Him. And now He's dead. The crucifixion had begun probably to cause them to have some second thoughts about Jesus and whether He was the promised Redeemer. In fact, the leaders of the people would have certainly influenced that thought. Even Isaiah, years before, in the 53rd chapter, in that great passage about the suffering servant, prophetically said that the people would think, we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. The fact that Jesus died on the cross in the minds of the people was that God was not with him. He was smitten of God. He wasn't who he claimed to be. Matter of fact, those chief priests in Matthew chapter 27, verse 43, as he hung on the cross, said he trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said he was the Son of God. So there's a lot of doubt. Who was this Jesus? Was he really the Redeemer? Was he what people expected? These poor disciples are traveling on. They say, we don't know. We hoped. It doesn't mean that their hope is completely gone, but they're certainly disappointed. They don't know what to think. And so they're ruminating over all of these things. What do these things mean? And besides this, it's now the third day they go on to tell Jesus. What's the importance of that? It's being reported that Jesus is risen from the grave. They share with him how that certain women from their group went to the tomb and it was empty. And an angel told them that he's not here, he's risen. The other apostles ran to see. And sure enough, he was not there. So they had a lot to think about. That's why they were reasoning. That's why they were in deep conversation. That's why they were sad about all these things. If you've seen the movie Forrest Gump, you remember when Forrest Gump decides to go running? A good portion of that movement, a lot of people start following him. He's running all over the country and just crowds of people are following. They have different thoughts about what his purpose is, what he's doing. They don't know, and they have in their own mind that he's a champion of their cause, whatever it might be. And out in the middle of the desert, he's just running and then he stops. He's through running now. turns around and starts walking home. You remember the faces of the people in that movie? Has like, what? What? What do we do now? And they turn and start walking away. I think about these disciples. As all this is playing out in their mind and they're mulling it over. What do all these mean? How does the crucifixion, how does the resurrection, how does that reconcile with the hopes and expectations that we have about Jesus? These disciples had experienced great devotion. They'd followed Jesus. Some of them had deserted everything else, forsaken everything else to follow Jesus. And they went from this devotion to desertion, dismay and despair, disillusionment. And now with the word of the resurrection, they're bewildered. They're uncertain. What does all this mean? So they're reflecting on all this. And then Jesus begins to speak to them. And we're going to find next that this hope that they have had in Jesus is resurrected. Verse 25 and following. Then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. They drew near the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. And now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, he blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said to one another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? So they rose up the very hour, returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. We see that even though they were uncertain, their hope was in a state of bewilderment. They just didn't know what to think anymore. Jesus comes to them and he explains to them. And Jesus reveals to them more about the hope that he brings. He expounded and he explained all that the prophecies of old meant. All the scriptures about it. He explained to them what this suffering he went through meant. Even his exaltation. You see, Jesus did come. He was the promised Redeemer. But the Scriptures taught more than that. He was a Redeemer of sin. To buy a man back from sin. The nature of his kingdom is very different than what they might have expected. It was much broader, much deeper. So Jesus revealed to them all that the Scriptures spoke about him. He brought it together to help them see. And then it says that he revealed himself to them. Their eyes were open and they knew him. But then he vanished out of their sight. So with this explanation, with this deeper understanding of what these scriptures meant, their hope in him is renewed. And did our hearts burn within us? When he talked to us, they could remember how Jesus talked to them before. And now as he opens the scriptures to them, they knew something. This meant something. Our hearts were burning in us. What is it this man's telling us? And he reveals himself to him. But now with this resurrected hope, we find that it's redirected. They had been right to hope in Jesus as the Redeemer. He was. They just had not properly understood God's plan for that redemption. He was the one they could hope in. But now they rejoiced in their renewed hope. It says, even though it was late, we just saw that in the reading, that they went that same hour and they had to go and tell the other disciples about what had happened. Their hope was resurrection, but it was redirected as well with a new understanding. of what Jesus' sufferings meant, what his resurrection meant. So here we have a people whose hope seemed to be disappointed, but it wasn't disappointed at all. It was alive. Their hope was alive. It's a living hope. It cannot die. What does that mean for us? These things that we looked at. I said I wanted to use this as an illustration. These early disciples, what did the resurrection mean? How did that bring hope to them? What does it mean for us? What does the resurrection of Jesus mean? What does this living hope mean? It means that hope remains. Hope remains for us for redemption. In that passage in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, in the context of this, Peter is talking about living hope in the context of our salvation. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again. We've been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, reserved in heaven. It doesn't fade away. It's for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. And though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired into, and they've searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. The hope they had in Jesus for redemption is a hope that remains today for the salvation of men's souls. Jesus was speaking forward. His death was of something forward, of salvation, redemption from sin, being born again and having the hope of salvation, to be with God and enjoy an inheritance in heaven, no matter what you experience in this world. So the resurrection of Jesus provides a living hope, one that continues on and will continue on until the Lord's return again. It provides hope for redemption from sin for each man. It also means that there is hope remaining for recovery. Life has taught us that our hopes can and very often do disappoint us. Everything we place our hope in can disappoint us. You can place your hope in a spouse, they can disappoint you. Family can disappoint you. The church can disappoint you. Everything in this world can disappoint you. Only God can provide a hope that will not disappoint. Hope in God is the only thing. And however you say, well, we hope in God. Those disciples that we read about earlier, their hope was in God. Their hope was in Jesus. But sometimes we put our hope in God for various things that may not be in line with His will, nor according to His promises. They were right to hope in Jesus, but they weren't hoping for necessarily the right thing. It wasn't God's will that Jesus remain on the earth and an earthly kingdom be established with Him as a king. He came to establish a spiritual kingdom. Sometimes the expectations and desires that we have in life, the things that we hope for, are based not on the promises of God, but maybe our own vanity, our own will. See, God has not promised us the American dream. God has not promised us promotion in work, success, popularity. There are a lot of things we hope in that God has not necessarily promised. And sometimes when the things that we think God is promising us, or we think God is going to give us, when we don't receive those things, or when we're disappointed in those things, when we think that God has let us down. And when we think God has let us down, we may become disappointed. We may become disillusioned. Some even lose their faith in God. They doubt God, doubt His existence, doubt His love for them. And maybe the hope that they once had, they also desert. But we have a living hope. That's what Peter is saying. We have a hope that will not disappoint when it's based on a belief that God's will for us is ultimately going to be achieved. It's going to be a fulfilled hope, just as He promised. And what Peter's talking about in 1 Peter 3 is that hope of salvation. It's not based on a hope for an easy life. Indeed, many of the scriptures that we learn of teach us that life will not always be easy. Here he talks about in 1 Peter 1 about the various trials that you're going to face. Other places we're told that as Christians we'll suffer persecution. People will spitefully use us. They hated Christ, they'll hate us. There are many promises of blessings. But you see, what this verse, this living hope teaches us is that even if the route to our salvation, even if the route to heaven is not what we expected, salvation is guaranteed. It is a hope that will not disappoint. Be faithful unto death, and you'll receive the crown of life. The resurrection of the dead was proof that your hope in Him is not in vain. He's not like some other religious leader that might come in the world and promise things to people and then die. And where's the hope? The resurrection of Jesus means that there is hope for recovery. If you've been doubting your faith, if you've been doubting the promise of the Lord, you can recover. It may be that you need to have a different understanding and your hope is redirected. But you can be renewed in that faith if it's failed you. Because of your expectations, God will not disappoint ultimately with our salvation. It also means that we have reassurance of His presence. Their hope remains that Jesus is going to be with us. Jesus had promised His disciples that He would rise the third day. He did rise. He was present with these disciples even though they didn't even know it. He walked with them. He was talking with them. They didn't know who He was, but He was there. And He's promised to be with us. As He sent His disciples out in the world, He says, "Lo, I'm with you always, even the end of the age." He's promised to be with us. We're promised His continuing presence with us when we're born again, as Peter talks about here in 1 Peter 3. We don't see Him, he says, but we know that He's there. Acts 2 and verse 38, when the first Christians were preached to and responded to become Christians, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What is that Holy Spirit? It's a gift that's with us. God is with us. He's present with us as a gift. Romans 5 and verse 5, I mentioned this verse earlier. But Paul says, "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." And the Hebrew writer reminds us of the Old Testament, that scripture that says, God speaking, He Himself says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Hope remains for us that the Lord is with us. We don't always see Him. We don't always feel Him. Just as these disciples didn't know that Jesus was the one talking to them, sometimes we just have to understand that the Lord's with us because He's told us He is. As we conclude the lesson this morning, the living hope made available by the resurrected Christ offers to us hope in spite of one's past. Anybody, you see, those early Christians, Those Jews thought that the promise of redemption was only for them. But what we learn in the suffering and the resurrection and the exaltation of Christ is that this hope of forgiveness of sins is available to everybody in spite of our past. Though we've done many things contrary to the will of God, we can be forgiven. Redemption is offered to us in spite of what's been done. And to anyone, Jew or Gentile, doesn't matter your race, your background, your social status, Jesus died for everyone. And there's hope for each one of us in spite of our past. The hope of redemption, the living hope, is available to each one. It also means that we have hope for every present challenge. When we understand that Jesus is with us as a Christian, it doesn't matter if other things disappoint us. It doesn't matter if we have many things in life that don't go the way we expected or had thought they would. Every challenge, we have hope because Jesus is with us. And finally, it means that we have hope beyond this life. That's what Peter was getting at. We have an inheritance in heaven. When we've been born again, it's waiting for us. There's hope beyond this life. This life is not the most important one. It's the life that is beyond. That's what we hope for. That's where our salvation lies. That's when God will take away all the things that disappoint and hurt and cause us so much pain and grief in this world will be gone. The living hope made possible by the resurrected Christ provides hope beyond this life. As we think about these things, there's a song we sing. It's got a phrase sometimes. Some build their hopes on the ever-drifting sand. Some on the fame or the treasures of the land. Mine's on the rock that forever shall stand. Jesus, the rock of ages. Is your hope on Him this morning? Has your faith in Jesus wavered because of the disappointments that you faced in life? Redirect your hope again to Jesus. Are you saved today? Have you been born again? Do you believe in Jesus as the Christ? You put your faith in Him, repent of sins in your life, say, I'm not going to live like that anymore. Confess the name of Christ and be baptized. Go through that new birth process. You can enjoy this hope. You can return to Christ, recover that hope and that joy of salvation. And if you need to respond to this hope this morning, we invite you to do so as we stand together and we sing. Please come.